Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
A Bronx uprising. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we get on our soapbox coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long. I hope you're doing well. Can't be that bad. You're listening to a marginal sports talk radio show at a time when most people are sleeping. So our lead this hour coming from the house that Jeter built, not the house that Ruth built. That was the old Yankee Stadium. They tore that down. This is the new Yankee Stadium, which is kind of old now because most of these stadiums, after like 10 years or whatever, they're ready to change stadiums. But in the Bronx, Yankee Stadium, that is where our lead comes from. The rare and appropriate Maller monologue about baseball in May. That's right, baseball in May. That is where Houston was visiting. Now, if you didn't see this game, and maybe it was not on your radar, you missed out, right? You might be saying, well, why would I care about a Yankee-Astro game? It's not the playoffs. It's just a random Tuesday night, second month of the season. Who cares? No. This night was different than all other nights. It was boo-tastic is what it was. Because the Astros returned to the scene of the crime for the first time since the sign-stealing scam was exposed. And while Giancarlo Stanton hit a laser, and the Yankees won the game 7-3, in large part because of the incompetence of Houston, the outcome will not be remembered. Even if somehow the Astros had won, it wouldn't have mattered. The story here, the lead actor in this particular play, the Bronx fan. Right? That's your story. Don't bury the lead, my man. Don't bury the lead. They stepped up to verbally harass the villains of baseball. So let us discuss the question. Let's get out the report book. What letter grade do we give the Yankee fan for their efforts above and beyond the call of duty to badger the Astros? Now, I am the perfect arbitrator. I am Switzerland, neutral as can be, nonpartisan, fair, balanced, all of that. The Maller report card reads A++++ for the Yankee fan. Job well done. Bravo. Bravo to the Yankee fan. To expand on this, we have contraband, vibration, and communal. And we will connect all of these things together. Now, first of all, this was yet another one of those dates that we had circled on our calendar, with the Dodgers playing at the same time, although you wouldn't know they actually played, just kind of showed up and went through the motions. They had a doubleheader in Chicago. I made that my second game. I had tunnel vision in the late evening hours there. I was watching the game going on in the Bronx. In the 2017 American League Championship Series, the Astros cheated. They cheated to beat the Yankees in the ALCS before breaking the sacred rules of the game to barely get by the Dodgers in the World Series. And despite knowing what pitch was coming, this is the most amazing thing about how incompetent the Astros as a franchise were in that period. They still needed to go seven games to win both the ALCS and the World Series when they knew what pitch was coming. That tells you how flawed and what a sham the 2017 Astros Astros turned out to be. They were imposters. They were frauds. And considering how few fans were allowed to socially distance and attend the game against the Astros, it was a small but boisterous crowd. Less than 11,000 souls were there to serenade the cheating Astros with a chorus of boo flat. And you had a patchwork quilt of crude homemade signs with salty language intertwined together with inflatable trash cans for a marvelous harmony of hatred from the Yankee fan. Now, security made a futile attempt to confiscate the contraband. Good luck on that, right? That's as effective as saying, I'm going to boil the Pacific Ocean is what I'm going to do. Good luck on that. Now, some of the signs, to give you an idea what we're dealing with here, some of them read, I find your lack of integrity disturbing. And Astros, here's a sign. You want to steal it? And then F word. I liked cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. I like that. That was good. We can go on and on. Could not have happened to a better group of Mama Lukes. It was wonderful. Now, secondly, Jose Albuve. He took the brunt of the ruthless hoodlums in the Bronx, the catcalls and all that. And this was chicken soup for the soul. And you cannot find a more worthy enemy combatant than Jose Albuve. Right? We believe Major League Baseball's Keystone Cops investigators. Right? The people investigating the cheating scandal. We believe that they did a half-assed job there. And they did not properly investigate the buzzer. Right? We're talking about a vibration situation here. They only scratched the surface on what was going on with the cheating. They failed to properly look into, hey, check him for the buzzer, right? Which Altuve was, just for the lawyers, possibly, wink, wink, possibly wearing, right? Doesn't look obvious when he's like, don't rip my jersey off. You might see my buzzer. No. I'm sure maybe it was something else. Very bashful all of a sudden, Jose Altuve. But that was against the Yankees when he hit the home run against Aroldis Chapman in the ALCS. Buzz, buzz, baby. It's like Buzz Lightyear there, Jose Altuve. Altuve is a fraud. I think we've all established that. Everything that man has accomplished. Phony. Everything. Everything. All right? That is why he is at the top of the big board for the Bleacher Creatures. And the Bleacher Creatures, you know, used to be you could get into the bleachers at Yankee Stadium for a nominal amount of money. Now you got to have a lot of dough to get in even to the bleachers at Yankee Stadium. But I digress. The pint size second baseman is one of the central figures left from the 2017 scandal. The darkest scandal in the modern era of sport. The biggest bombshell in the internet age. And Altuve is also going through a super slump right now. In the last 24 at-bats, he's 1-for-24. And Dusty Baker, we got some sound for you. Dusty Baker, who was not around in 2017, but he's there to clean up the mess. Dusty admitted that the fans of Yankee Stadium, well, they were heard, as Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape. It is glorious. And it's almost like Altuve sucks when he doesn't know what pitch is coming. It's just a coincidence, I'm sure. I'm sure that's all it is. Now, the Astros have to go back to the den of inequity there and figure out how to solve this conundrum that certainly Altuve is facing. Now, final thought here. I gave the Yankee fan an A, and I believe it was a job well done by the New York Yankee fan. And I think everyone, all of us baseball fans, were Yankee fans on Tuesday. They zeroed in on Jose Altuve, as we said, and Carlos Correa. The healing powers of raspberries, communal healing, right? Some good old-fashioned abrasive heckling. You got to love the rude, crude, and lewd mob raining down the vitriol. We played the chant, F the Astros, right? F the Astros. You had the cheaters chant, A-holes or ass. 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, holes. Just like that. Tribal chants. We love tribal chants. And they kept it in bounds, right? Unlike that incident at Yankee Stadium not that long ago, there were no objects thrown on the field. Good job by them. Keep it verbal. You're good to go, right? If I could touch up their work, there's one thing. I'm nitpicking here. There's one thing, though. If you want to nitpick, that the Yankee fans should have done. They should have equally focused the rage on Alex Boo-Man and Yuli Gurriel. Now, Bregman did allow three big runs on a boo-boo at third base there. He had a throwing error, and he tossed it past the first baseman, and three runs scored. There was a collision at home plate. Now, Yuli Gurriel, he was also on the 2017 Astros and was one of the first to practice what's sweeping the media today, Asian hate. Remember, Gurriel mocked Yu Darvish, the eyes of Yu Darvish in the dugout during the World Series. Clearly racist act. Caught on camera, caught on Fox. Rob Manfred, who wasn't driving the woke bus back in 2017, he looked the other way. Didn't punish Gurriel during the 2017 World Series. He took the cowardly path, Rob Manfred, the spineless commissioner, waited until next season to punish Gurriel. I imagine racist. Now, if we have a player today that does a racist act towards the Asian community, that he will be suspended immediately. But back then, Rob Manfred, because you know, plus the guy played for the Astros, Gurriel. Man. Now, since that stumble bum commissioner, Rob Manfred, granted all these slime ball Astro players full immunity, all right? They didn't have to take a vaccine. They got immunity and refused to take that little piece of metal away. Here we are, several years removed from the scandal becoming public. Now, I know part of this is because of the COVID, no fans in the stands during the regular season in 2020, but still, we have seen in multiple cities, fan-led insurgencies. And I love it. It's great. Only punishment that the Astros are getting. Now, the real masterpiece will be at Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine. That will be the creme de la creme of all of this. And we have that to look forward to. But a job well done by the Yankee fan. Good job by you. Boo! No, it was solid, and it was great. You could tell Altuve, you know, all these guys. Yeah. Altuve! Altuve! So good. Altuve! Altuve! Have I ever told you I am a sucker for rhythmic chanting? Have I ever told you that that is one of my weaknesses? We play the Urban Meyer chant. Yeah, there, that's it. So we play that a lot. We like that. That's good. Yeah, Fire Rambus. No, I love the rat-a-tat-tat, the pitter-patter. I can't get enough of it. It's great. And so now we have a new toy. We have the Astros. Play it again, Roberto. We can add another. We have other Astro chants, but yeah. F Altuve. F Altuve. F Altuve. That feels pretty good. That is solid. Man, that's great. Good job by the Yankee fan. And we in the future, we're going to get more than 10,850 or whatever it was there at Yankee Stadium. We'll get even more, which will make it more enjoyable. So we have that to look forward to.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is a Tebow-tastic kind of a day. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we babble coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness. The Fox Sports Radio studios, good to have you along for the journey into the wee hours of the morning. And our lead this particular hour, coming from the Friendship Department of Sports, we're going to retrace our steps to an old reliable friend of the show, Tim Tebow. There were a couple of years, about a decade plus ago, that Tim Tebow drove the bus in these parts, not anymore. Right now, Tebow's a washed-up, failed baseball player, failed quarterback in the pro game, and he is attempting a comeback, a much-publicized comeback, as a tight end. We talked about this in a previous episode of the show. Are you up to speed on the latest? Perhaps not. There have been some new developments here, and that's why we are talking about Tebow yet again. Urban Meyer doing a round of post-draft interviews, and he has given a State of the Tebow address. Not to be confused with Joe Biden's State of the Union. This is the State of Tebow address by Urban Meyer, the Jacksonville coach making the rounds. And Meyer, we'll play the clip here. Meyer says that no decision on Tim Tebow, whether he makes the roster, gets a tryout, an official invitation to join the team in the offseason, has been made. As Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
You know, years ago, they would always talk about why didn't he play tight end and why didn't he do this, why didn't he do that? And Tim, you know, he has never played tight end. That's going to be a tough go. And he did. He tried out with our tight end coach. And I on purpose, removed myself from that because I have very strong opinions about the competitive nature and how tough he is. But I also have made a commitment to our owner and the people of Jacksonville. The only decisions I'm going to make is if it can help us win a game. That's it. There is nothing else involved. And that decision has not been made yet.
All right, so this audio coming from CBS Sports Network, the cable channel there. That's why you heard a little music underneath it. So in a separate interview, we played the clip for you there. In a separate interview, Urban Meyer repeated the company line that Tim Tebow will get a chance if he can help the Jags win games. So our job here, my job and your job, I'm going to go first, is to parse the words of the rookie NFL head coach. He's a rookie. So let us discuss. What are the odds that Tim Tebow lands an offseason contract from Jacksonville? Now, I am going to set the updated number in the unofficial Maller Sports book. I'm going to set the odds at -550. -550. Now, if you're not a gambler and you're bad at math or both, That implies an 85% chance. That's how confident I am that Tebow will get an opportunity to prove himself through the offseason program, what there is of it, in Jacksonville. He will get the shot. Now, my thoughts, you've got Inspector Gadget, Daily Double, and Canary. And we will tie all of these things together into a neat package. And we'll fill the time here in this Maller monologue. Now, A, Urban Meyer attempted to be, by his standards, bashful Urban, right? Shy Urban. Don't buy it. I don't believe it. Maybe you do. Urban Meyer is beholden to Tim Tebow. There is no Urban Meyer without Tim Tebow. Urban Meyer was a coach on the rise when he landed in Florida. He had had success at Utah and some other stops along the way. But the thing that locked in to cement that Urban Meyer was one of the great coaches of this generation of coaches was the time at Florida with Tim Tebow when you had the sinners and the saints side by side. Tim Tebow, the saint, the sinner, Aaron Hernandez, and they were Urban Meyer players. And so Myers, listen, he's throwing out all kinds of gobbledygook, right, to try to throw us off the scent. His efforts, though, to confuse us by trying to throw us off the scent, by deceiving us, not working. Because on this one, I am Benny the Bloodhound, and I am on the case. I am sniffing this out here. And Urban Meyer, He can fool you, but he can't fool me. I was schooled as a child by Inspector Gadget. So go, go, Gadget! Right? The fact that Tim Tebow was given a tryout at age 33 with no football games played as a tight end in forever and after a failed baseball career with the Metropolitans tells you all you need to know. What more needs to be said? Actions speak louder than words. Now, part B of this, Urban Meyer is attempting to distance himself from the story. He's painting with this broad brush like he's some kind of innocent bystander. Hello, he is the head coach. He is the czar of Jacksonville football. The buck stops with Urban Meyer. He would not have taken the job if it was anywhere else, anything other than that. And for him to try to position this story as it's not my decision, that is a humdinger of a tale, is what it is. Now, you would have to be a total country bumpkin to buy this. I hope that you're not. I'd like to think that you're not a rube. I try not to be. I have a theory, though, on this. All right, so let me give you my theory, and let's see if this passes your smell test. So my theory is that Urban Meyer is putting all of this publicly on the shoulders of tight end coach Tyler Bowen. Probably don't know who that is. He's a rather generic coach. He's bounced around college football. He's at Penn State. He's from Maryland. Tyler Bowen. Why is Meyer saying, well, it's really up to the tight end coach? Because he gets to hit the daily double, Urban Meyer, by doing this. On one hand, we know that Urban's already shown his hand. By giving the tryout, that is an indicator that Tim Tebow, in the eyes of Urban Meyer, is still America's sweetheart, and he's worthy of the red carpet treatment. If you are the tight end coach, you've just been hired. This is your first NFL gig as a tight end coach. You are under the tutelage of Urban Meyer. You are fully aware of the history of Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer. You're aware of that. You're also aware of the fact that Tebow was just given an opportunity at age 33, having not played football in X number of years. So do you think that you're going to tell Urban Meyer, boy, this guy blows. Let me tell you, Urban, this guy, he should be selling shoes somewhere, shouldn't be playing tight end. Or is it more likely that Tyler Bowen, the tight end coach in Jacksonville, is going to give a glowing review, not wanting to rock the boat, if you know what I'm saying? And the daily double part, you have that, and then you also have, should Tebow succeed, Urban Meyer will take credit. Talk about he always believed in Tim Tebow and had confidence in him. If Tebow somehow gets the opportunity and doesn't make the team and ends up getting hurt and goes away, if he flops, then Urban Meyer has what everyone wants in life, plausible deniability. Wasn't my decision. This guy Tyler Bowen made the call. It's his fault. He's the boob. Not my fault. I'm washing my hands with Tebow. I said the tight end coach made the decision. His fault, not my fault. All right, last word. So while Urban Meyer is being restrained by his standards, others in positions of power are singing like a canary. For example, someone named Tony Khan is an actor that has entered this play. Who is Tony Khan? He's the son of Jacksonville's owner, Shad Khan. And he is a member of the front office. He has been given a very nice title by his daddy, Chief Football Strategy Officer. Sounds very official. And Tony Khan is spilling the beans. He's spilling the beans. The spawn of Khan says that head coach Urban Meyer thinks Tebow can help the Jags. That's what he said. In fact, quote, obviously Urban knows Tim really well, and Tim has got a great history of winning, Tony Khan bloviated. Quote continues. Urban really believes that he, meaning Tebow, can help us. And I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a position where we need to get better. Close quote. Close quote. So that's the quote Urban didn't want to get out that came from the son of the owner who's got loose lips. Loose lips sink battleships. And Tim Tebow is beloved. He is seen as the humble, courteous, respectful sporting star, and he would be great when the son of the owner says that Tebow would make a lot of sense. What he's really saying is, from a business standpoint, not a football standpoint, from a business standpoint, Tim Tebow would be perfect. You have the cash cow. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Because even if Tebow makes the team as a blocking tight end that plays special teams and an occasional decoy in the passing game, it is irrelevant because Tim Tebow is bankable. He's the cash cow. And his merchandise will sell like hotcakes. I wouldn't be shocked if Tim Tebow sold more merchandise than the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, for Jacksonville.
Number one.
And that makes him a profitable investment. I mean, you're going to have some third-string tight end on your roster. You can get some generic brand tight end. No one's going to buy their jersey or their T-shirt. But pro sports is big business. It's entertainment. It's also about getting attention. And Tim Tebow is all of those things. He is Mr. Publicity. Mr. Publicity. So he's got a leg up. Is it fair? No, it's not fair. That's how life works. Life is not fair. Once you cross that Rubicon, you'll find life more enjoyable. Once you just accept the fact that Tim Tebow's going to get an opportunity with an offseason contract, we think there's an 85% chance from Jacksonville as opposed to some other schmo. And if not Jacksonville, he'll find a job somewhere else, is because of the business side of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Here we go!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Mind-blowing for ratings purposes. We have time-shifted Maller to the third degree.
Wow,
to an earlier portion. An earlier portion of the radio program. We go over to Koopa Loop. Loosey-goosey, rested and relaxed.
Wow.
Ben, nobody was expecting the San Francisco Giants to be any good this season, and yet here they are at first place in the NL West and among the best records in all of baseball. Do you think
don't have to celebrate their... You don't have to...
I'm not celebrating. I'm just asking a question.
It sounded like you were giving a glowing review.
I
feel a fail coming on.
I know. You better not. I gave him some more time here. Yeah.
I think it's a fair question. I don't know where you're gathering any sort of bias. Do you think they will compete all year long, or is this an early season fluke?
Well, it's been 20 games, and I learned from the great Tommy Lasorda and Sparky Anderson that you've got to wait 60 games. Right, you got to wait 60 games because, you know, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60, and then it's what you do with the other 40 games that matter. There's a couple different versions of that. Some of them say you win 50, lose 50, it's what you do with the other 62. But either way, it's only been 20 games. The indicators are pretty encouraging for the Giants. Coming into the doubleheader against the Rockies, they had the second best starting pitching in the big leagues behind the Dodgers. That is the foundation. But that foundation is built behind guys like Alex Wood, Aaron Sanchez, Anthony DeSclafani, I believe is how you say his name. These guys are rejects.
Who?
Right? They've all pitched pretty well to start the year.
Never heard of them.
The offense for the Giants was supposed to be horrible. It's been as good as the advance billing. So you've got that. And then part B, the reason I would, dare I say, go out on a limb and say the Giants can hang around is because the quality of competition in the National League, outside the Dodgers, who currently suck rocks, and the Padres, the Giants should be able to do very well against the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, and they play them for almost 40 games. And then you look around the National League, got bad teams like the Pirates, the Reds, the Cubs, teams like that, anybody in the National League East. And so you can get some wins against those teams in non-divisional play. And as long as the Giants just tread water against the Dodgers and Padres, then they can hang around. They're not winning a championship, but they can certainly hang around and be an annoyance and a nuisance for the Dodgers and the Padres. Next!
So after the 49ers traded up to number 3 in the draft to get a quarterback, pretty much everyone's expectation was that Jimmy G would end up back in New England. Well, now Kyle Shanahan's telling reporters that Jimmy G is the starter right now over Trey Lance. Ben, do you think that there's any way the 49ers let this be a season of grooming Trey Lance behind Jimmy G?
No, listen, I will believe it when it happens. The smart money still says the 49ers go out and make a side move here for some other quarterback and end up releasing Jimmy Garoppolo. Until Garoppolo starts game one, I am in the doubtful category. He's got zero guaranteed money on his contract. If the 49ers keep him, they'll be paying him $25 million, which is not a ton of money by NFL quarterback standards. It would change my life forever. But for Garoppolo and the 49ers, they can figure out the landscape there. But that seems like a pretty big price to pay when you just put Trey Lance out there. I have long been an advocate of play the rookie quarterback, get the growing pains out of the way. I say it with all of these young quarterbacks. Trey Lance is no different. And the second thing, Garoppolo should be headed to Duck Dynasty territory, because even if he's on the team, Garoppolo is the biggest lame duck among all the quarterbacks in the NFL, I guess outside Cam Newton, right? They can have dinner together. The writing is on the wall. 2021, if he's on the team, which I'm still doubtful about, it's essentially an open audition to try to impress other teams, like, say, Carolina or Chicago, if their young quarterback thinks that he can get an opportunity somewhere else. All right, next, this is a very Bay Area heavy Mallard to the third degree. Are we going to talk about the Warriors next? No?
Well, no, not exactly.
All right. Sharks? No?
Right. No. Blake Snell.
Ooh.
Yes.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Yes, well, he took to social media recently to express his outrage over his rating in MLB The Show 21. That's a video game.
I'm aware it's a video game, Coop. I'm not that old. How dare you? Bro, I played it yesterday.
Did you really?
No.
Okay. Well,
another Mallard lie.
That was an exaggeration, Eddie. It's not a lie. There's a difference.
I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Snell has an 82 overall ranking in the game. Ben, how far off are the video game makers?
Well, I want to begin this by thanking you, Koopaloop, because I would not know that Blake Snell did this on social media, because that Mama Luke blocked me. Oh. Right? He could not handle the heat. He could not handle the heat from yours truly. So I haven't seen his witty post. I guess he didn't like when we were calling him out last year, calling him all the names we called him when that during the beginning of the COVID shutdown when he didn't want to play. But this sounds like a textbook crybaby athlete to me. Boo-hoo-hoo. The video game makers came up with some totally arbitrary number, and they pulled it out of thin air, and now I'm going to have a hissy fit, which is on brand for Blake Snell, all right? Now, the other point, Blake Snell is your typical modern starting pitcher. He struggles to make it past 5 innings. How can you be considered an all-time great when you can't go more than 4 1/3 or whatever it is? He walks way too many batters. And more importantly, the guy's a Mr. Softy. Bro, I'm risking my life. They should have gone lower than 82. He's lucky he got it. He's overrated at 82, Blake Snell. There it is, Mallard to the third degree. How did we do?
Well, I'm torn because you gave it a lot of time, which I enjoy.
Yes.
But you also butchered the clock. But I'll give you a pass.
There it is. That's a win. No, you played the fail. I won. I won. We'll make it up on the other side, Coop. Don't worry. We'll make it up on the other side.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
And away we go, Password. This portion of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio, made possible by Discover Card. We believe a better tomorrow is possible for everyone. Discover something brighter. Discover something brighter. And away we go. Let's play Password, the word game of stars. A brief edition. Brief edition of Password. We have Charlie in San Antonio. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, Ben? How you doing?
All right. If I was any better, I'd be a Spur, but not a San Antonio Spur. And Ronnie in KC. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hey, Benny the Bopper. How are you tonight?
That's proper respect, Ronnie. Thank you for that. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
All right. Who? We know Charlie's just a troll. What are you doing, though, Ronnie in KC? What do you got going on there?
I am on my way home from work at this ridiculous hour of the night.
Yeah, I hear you. What kind of work you got going on?
Oh, I'm a product inspector for a manufacturing company.
I got you. All right. Well, very good. Let's play the game. Charlie, who do you want to partner up with, Charlie?
My man, Coop.
Wow.
All right.
All right. And what about you? What do you want, Ronnie? Who do you want?
Let's go, Bopper.
All right, let's do it. Benny the Bopper and Ryan, we're going to get this done. Here we go. We got to go fast. List of words, 1 to 10, rapid fire, Machine Gun Kelly style. And Charlie, pick a number. Hurry up.
Number 10.
Number 10.
Coop, use that famous Mallard manure he uses.
You say manure?
let's go with insane.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that was easy. Come on.
Pick
a number. Go ahead. Come on, Ronnie.
Five.
Number five. All right, let's go. Let's see here. I think this should be easy. Let's go with.
Hurry up.
See here. Overpriced.
Expensive.
Yeah, look at that. That's how you do it, Eddie, right there. You see what we did there? That's domination.
Wow.
Great job. Go ahead, Cope. Come on. Chop,
tied,
chop.
Tied at 10-10.
Charlie, hurry up, Charlie. Charlie!
Eight.
You sound like his dad.
Let's go with,
Hurry up!
Aged.
Old?
No.
No, let's go with grown. G-R-O-W-N, Ronnie.
Advanced?
No. All right. Cool.
Let's try, like, responsible?
Adult.
Oh.
No.
Close.
All right, I said grown before. How about up?
Mature.
Yeah! That's a winner! Yeah! In your face, Charlie! Great job by you, Ronnie!
You'll never win a full-length game!
Another password win by Team Maller and Ronnie!